You know, it's interesting. Pat did not know what I was speaking on this morning. He didn't know I was speaking on a deeper love. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. How much deeper love could you have? I kidded Pat earlier because he said he had something he wanted to share just before we started worship. Never shared it with me. And I said, oh, that means I don't have to speak. And then when he started to share, I thought, oh, maybe I don't have to speak. He's got it all. But he doesn't have this illustration. I'd like to take a moment to talk about my relationship with Kathy, my wife. For those who don't know my wife, that was the young lady that was sitting beside me. I would say when we first met, I was enamored by her beauty and by her friendliness. We fell in love, got married. The honeymoon didn't last long, though. And for the first 7 years in our relationship, it all went downhill. We got to a point where it looked like it was over. Finally, I surrendered my life to the Lord. I had asked Jesus to come into my life, to forgive my sins, my many sins, and be Lord of my life. At that time, Jesus gave me a desire to really love my wife. Before that, I would have to say the love I had for Kathy, and I know this is going to appall some people, but the love I had for Kathy was superficial and not very deep. But now, my heart was changed. I had a great desire to grow in a deeper love with her daily. I wanted to really know her and to understand this incredible woman I had married. I wanted to be the best husband I could be. My desire was to serve her and please her at all times. Now, I'm not a perfect husband, and I've made lots of mistakes since December of 1980, but I still have the same desire to continue to grow in a deeper love with Kathy every day. This has been my desire since that day and continues to be my desire. Why am I telling you this story? Well, the New Testament reveals the relationship between the church, which is us, the church is the people of God, and Jesus as a marriage, with Jesus being the bridegroom and us being the bride. When we first accept Jesus as a Savior and Lord, we become His bride. And as I have desired to daily grow deeper in love with Kathy, my bride, we need to have a desire to grow deeper in love with Jesus, our bridegroom, each and every day. Right now, I would like us to think back on that day when we made that decision to follow Jesus, to ask Him to come and forgive our sins, and we made Him Lord of our lives. What was our desire for our relationship with Him that day? What was our desire for the relationship with the Father? A better question might be, is what is your desire for your relationship with Jesus now, that's a pretty in-your-face question. But what is our desire for our relationship with Jesus now? Let's take a look at what Paul had to say in Philippians chapter 3, verses 5 to 6. And this is where this sort of message sort of came from. Paul says, I was circumcised when I was 8 days old. I am a pure-blooded citizen of Israel, and a member of the tribe of Benjamin, a real Hebrew, if there ever was one. I was a member of the Pharisees, who demanded the strictest obedience to the Jewish law. I was so zealous that I harshly persecuted the church. And as for righteousness, I obeyed the law without fault. Wow, how impressive. As far as the Jewish faith was concerned, Paul had arrived. He had followed the law to a T. He made sure every I was dotted and every T was crossed. He didn't make one mistake. He had taken time to study and teach others the Jewish law. Those in the faith would have looked up to him. Paul, what a righteous man. He did it all flawlessly as a Jew. Paul knew how the Jews put their trust in circumcision and in fulfilling the law. Yet, as Paul writes this, he does not give his reader even a moment to dwell on all his accomplishments or applaud him as a Jew, because that's not his desire for writing this. He's not trying to get accolades. For the very next verse we read, I once thought these things were valuable, but now I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared to with the infinite value of knowing Christ, Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage, so that I could gain Christ. Wow. Paul is saying, that's where I was, the Jew of Jews, the Hebrew of Hebrews, the law flawless. But now, since I have come to know Jesus, all these things I thought were so important, all these rituals, all this Jewish faith I thought was so important, is really of no value compared to knowing Jesus. He saw his previous religious zeal as something that was just human effort tainted with sin. As such, they would not win the Father's approval. And so they had become worthless rituals. Now, I know some of you are probably contemplating the thought that I'm smacking the Jews here, and I'm not. And I've got a quote from a commentator who wrote, by saying he considered everything to be lost, Paul does not mean that his Jewish upbringing, the laws, and everything else were evil, but that his attitude toward it all was evil. See, his intent was trying to work his way into the kingdom of God. Doing the righteous, the religious acts would please God. I mean, that's what I was like when I was a kid. I went to church. I was an altar boy. And I did all those things that were right when I went to church. The reason Paul was zealous as he was because of his sinful motives. Because Paul sees those things which were of such great importance in his life as now having no value, we read Paul confessing in Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, I want to know Christ, the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of sharing in his suffering, becoming like him in his death. Paul is stating his whole goal in life now. It's not to just do outward performances. It's to know Christ, everything there is to know about him, to have a deeper love with him. That's Paul's whole story now. It's, I want to know Jesus and who he is, all about him. Paul declares, I want to know Jesus. The Greek word here for know has the idea of knowing through experience, not just the head knowledge. He had the head knowledge about God and all the laws. He had all that head knowledge, but now he wants to know Jesus through experience. In other words, for me to really know you or to know Kathy, I need to know it through experience. I mean, I could come and I could Facebook you if you're on Facebook, and I could find out a little bit about you, but it's just a small glimpse, a bigger glimpse of some people. But for the most part, it's just a small glimpse of who you are. I don't really know you. And if you wanted to find out about Kathy on Facebook, you wouldn't know her at all because she doesn't do Facebook. See, if I hung around with you, if I hung out with you every day and I talked with you every day, I would get to know you. I would get to know your likes and your dislikes, your routines, your habits, your sorrows, your joys. I would get to know your character. I would get to know your buttons that push you and those things that can calm you down. You get the picture. If I hung out with you day after day, I would really get to know you. And you'd probably get tired of me. But that's beside the point. We read in Psalm 46, verse 10, the Lord saying, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." Now we have to take, this verse is taken out of context a lot. So to put this verse in context, it's in the midst of a battle. There's a battle going on and the evil and nations are battling against Israel. And what the Lord is saying to the enemy who is battling and to the faithful, he's saying, "Be still, cease and desist all your own efforts and know that I am God." See, the Lord exhorts, even commands us in saying, "Know that I am God." Quit trying to use all your outward things to make it there. No, stop. Stop. Just stop. How many times have you said that to a child? Just stop. Just stop. Just sit still for a minute. And that's what God's saying. Just stop. Just sit down for a minute. Be still and know that I am God. To really know Jesus is not something that just happens. Oh, we can know and love him superficially without much effort, as the time I did with Kathy for the first 7 years of our marriage. But to know Jesus, to have that deeper love with Jesus, we need to spend time with him through prayer and devotions. We need to be still, as the psalmist said, just cease and desist. Remember the account of in the Gospels of Mary and Martha? And Jesus comes to their home and Martha is busy working. And Mary sits down at the feet of Jesus while Martha is working. And it is as if Mary had read the psalmist that said, "Be still, cease and desist, and sit at my feet and know me." Now Martha was busy preparing the meal, but Jesus said that Mary had chosen the best to do. We need to sit at the feet and allow the Holy Spirit to reveal to us who Jesus really is. As we do this, we find out the character of Jesus, how faithful he is, what grieves him, what brings him joy, what's his heart's desire. His heart's desire that none should perish. We find that out, that he wants to protect us, that he wants to walk with us, that he wants to be with us 24/7. The more time we spend with Jesus, the better we will know him, the deeper in love we will fall. To truly know Jesus, to be in deeper love with him, we must take time and effort. We must walk with him daily. The Greek word for know is a verb. It is an action, which means to know Jesus will take time and effort. But above that, it's an action word that is ongoing. It's not just a one-of thing. I've come to accept Jesus as my Savior and Lord, and that's it. I know Jesus. It's going on and on and on. We need to be with Jesus daily. We must progressively become more deeply and intimately acquainted and in love with Him. Our love needs to grow deeper and deeper every moment of each day. Each day, each moment we spend with Jesus is another opportunity in which we get to intimately know Him. Do we look at those days, those moments, those times of our day as an opportunity to get to know Jesus even better, to fall in love with Him even deeper? Jesus stated, "But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you." Isn't that it? First we seek God. First we seek God and He sends the Savior and we accept Him. And after we've accepted Jesus into our lives, after we've made Him Lord, then He starts to add to us as we continually build a relationship with Him, as we continue to grow from there. We must become thirsty for more and more. David had it figured when he wrote, "O God, You are my God. Earnestly I seek You. My soul thirsts for You. My body longs for You. In a dry and weary land where there is no water." We also read in the New Testament that David was a man after God's own heart. David's soul, all his being, thirsts for the living God because God was everything, everything to him. David loved the Lord. It wasn't a superficial love. It was a love that came from the depth of his heart, and he couldn't get enough of it. I can't get enough of Kathy's love. I can't get enough of the love of Jesus. David's love was an intimate love which comes from spending time with God, from observing who he is. If we continue to read Psalm 63, where we just read from, we would read of how David had seen the Lord's power and had seen the Lord's glory. David knew the Lord's love so deeply that he said it was better than life. Better than life. In other words, that's what Paul said. To die was gain. To be with Jesus, to be there is better than life itself. To know and to be in such deep love with God is better than life itself. Better than anything else we could desire. One just needs to start reading the Psalms that David wrote and realize how much time he actually spent with God and how deep his time with God was. When David took time to think deeply about his Lord, he just wanted more of God. We talked about Paul and David and their desire to want more of God, to know everything there is to know about the Father, to be intimately in love with a Father that they can't get enough time with Him, as it were. Yet, what about us? Are we satisfied with knowing the Father, as I've heard some people say in the past, the man upstairs? Have you heard that expression? The man upstairs? The God out there? Sounds awfully distant. Sounds pretty superficial. Are we content with that? We want to be like David and Paul, waking up each morning, hungering and thirsting for more of an intimate relationship with Jesus. As we go through our day, when we want to experience His closeness and respond to it by desiring to fall even deeper in love with Him. Maybe you're here today and you've never really thought about being in love with Jesus. Maybe it's all sort of foreign to you, this Jesus. You're just sort of on a journey of searching, and you sort of started to wonder about this journey of love. He desires to take a step along that journey of faith with you. He wants each one of us to to ask Him to forgive our sins and to become Lord of our lives. He wants us to fall deeply in love with Him as He becomes our bridegroom. If you're here today and you've never done that, in a moment I'm going to open the altars for prayer. And I'd ask that you would come and talk to me or talk to somebody you know really knows Jesus and say, hey, what was Scott talking about? That love. I want to know more about it. Maybe you're here today and you accepted Jesus last year or 5 years ago or 10 years ago or 60 years ago. And as you've been listening, the Holy Spirit's been saying to you the words Jesus spoke to the church in Ephesus in the book of Revelation. You have forsaken your first love. I don't mean that you've abandoned Jesus, but you have allowed your first love to cool off. I know you haven't abandoned Jesus or you wouldn't be here, but maybe your love has grown cold. When Pat said this morning, we're going to worship and just enter in with all you have, you might have gone, let's just get this worship stuff over. Or the words of the songs didn't really have any meaning. Is the Holy Spirit stirring your heart today to reignite the fire, to start to fan that flame into a blaze, a blazing fire? I'd like to pray for you this morning too, if that's you. So I'm going to ask that if you want prayer this morning, whether it's because you want to know Jesus for the first time or because you know your love's growing cold and you just want more, or maybe you just want a healing from Jesus, or you want Him to touch you in another way, I'm going to hang around the altars. In fact, I would ask you to come. I'll be here. May it be our desire to fall deeper in love with Jesus every moment of every day. He's the lover of our soul. Are we the lover of Him? Let's pray. Father, thank You for being the lover of our soul. Thank You for loving us so much. May we continually desire to love You more and more. May we experience You and really know You. May we be still and cease and desist from all the things that we try to do and allow Your Holy Spirit to share Your intimacy with us, that we might be intimate with You, that our love would grow deeper every day. Father, we thank You in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.